All right, grab your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 2. And some of you have been gone for a while, been following Nick and Kana A, and you guys are like all over the world, man. Next time, take me to Hawaii with you. Some of you have been out of town. We're in part number 5 in a series. I just thought it'd be cool to look at the birth of Jesus. We did that on December 23rd, and we're going to end on Easter with the resurrection, looking at the life of Jesus Christ, starting with the birth, ending with the resurrection. And we're not going through a book of the Bible. We're going through the life of Jesus Christ chronologically, okay? And so would you pray for me? So weak. Would you pray for me? So I spoke at my friend's church on Friday night. I was sick all week long, and Tammy and I were talking. We believe God's going to do something really big this week in our church. And so half of our staff got sick. And then I spoke at my friend's church on Friday night, and then twice on Saturday. And then here I am 4 times today, and then 1 time this week. I'm not going to tell you what day. But I'm losing my voice, but we're going to get through this, and it's going to be good. Amen? All right, so part number 5 in our series called Just Jesus. Now, the title of the message is that how God changes things. How many of you, let me, just before we start reading John chapter 2, how many believe that God still changes things and changes people? And how many believe that God still does miracle today? Do you know there are pastors and Christian leaders and denominations all over the United States, all over the world, that say once we got the complete Bible in our hand, we no longer need miracles? So let me give another run at it. You're going to go, okay, that's your job. Practice. So now that we got the Bible in our hands, we no longer need miracles. Totally false. Totally false. And he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did a miracle a year ago, 5 years ago, 2,000 years ago, the same God that walked on the water and healed people in the New Testament is still the same God that's active today, still doing miracles today. I'm a huge miracle. I'm a huge miracle. The fact that I got saved in 1985 and I was doing my own thing and cruising around through life thinking I was too sexy for my shirt, and God got a hold of me. How many are grateful that God got a hold of you? He saved. That's the greatest miracle, by the way, that you are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness. You are in the kingdom of light. Your eternity has changed for forever, and you have a plan and a purpose for living on this earth. That's the greatest miracle. So I've got saved, and my kids have come to know Christ, and I told you about my dad. He was like really intense. And do you have a friend or a family member? You're like, if they get saved, I'll believe that there's a God. That was my dad. He finally came to church after begging him, and then a year went by, and finally at the end of the message, I remember him lifting his hand. I was like, what? There is a God in heaven, my dad got saved. Do you have a relative like that? So I've seen family members come to Christ. I've seen thousands of people in our church. Check this out. Last week, in 3 of our 4 services, we had people come forward if they wanted to make a decision to follow Christ. Between 70 and 80 people came to the front and said, I'm turning from my old life. I want to follow Jesus. I mean, oh, that's a miracle right there. I've seen thousands of people. I've seen marriages healed and reconciled. We've actually had people in our church get a divorce. They just went their separate ways, and we were praying and praying and praying, and they got back together. We remarried them, and they're in our church today. I've seen people that have been addicted to methamphetamines. They didn't even go to a support group or anything. They just came to one service. God got a hold of their life, and in the middle of the world, I didn't even preach. Just in the middle of worship, God set them free. I believe God does that. Do you believe that? And God changes things and people. And I'm grateful for that. So today we're going to look at John chapter 2. And some of you have been around church some while. You're going to recognize this miracle. The first miracle Jesus ever did. He turned water into wine. Jesus turned water into wine. I want to give you 3 points. I'll do that in just a minute. But literally the fact that we're in this building is another miracle. Because we don't have a lot of really big givers in our church. We don't have a lot of multimillionaires, at least I'm aware of. If you are, I'll just hang right up here after the service. I'd love to meet you. But we just have a lot of faithful people that millionaires, just a lot of faithful people that have given to get into this building and invest $2.5 million for all the electricity and the air conditioning and the walls and the paint and on and on and on. It's a miracle of God. If we were living in Westlake Village where I grew up, it wouldn't be a miracle. But here in Oxnard, it's a major miracle. And God's in the miracle business. And how many want God to change something in your life in 2019? Would you raise your hand? Okay. So by faith, would you receive this message? Before I read John chapter 2, look at this verse on the screen. John 20, verse 30 and 31 said, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous What's the next word? What is a sign? A sign is what you violated on the way to church today. It said 55 miles an hour and you went 75. And a sign, it's a message. And notice what the Bible says, that Jesus did a lot of miracles that are recorded in the book, but he did a lot of other miraculous signs in addition to the ones that are recorded that are in the book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So we're going to read a couple verses, but I want to get the context of the miracle, okay? There's a couple, and we're not even sure what their names are. And so we know this, according to scripture, if it doesn't mention their name, listen, they're nobodies. So they have this wedding, and how many know weddings are a big deal today? In fact, we have entire shows on just choosing a dress. My wife likes that show, Yes to the Dress. I'm like, turn it. And what's up with the family members? Like, who cares what you think? I'm picking out the dress I want. But anyhow, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be right, right? We got a whole shows on. And if you think weddings are a big deal today, 2,000 years ago, they wouldn't just celebrate a day. They would celebrate for an entire week. And so the parties, they had the wedding parties going on, and they run out of wine. That would be like getting to the front. Have you ever been to a wedding? You get to the front, you're like, I hope there's some food. You get to the front, and the buffet is clear. No more arroz, frijoles, carnitas, it's all gone. And you're sitting there with a white plate. You're like, what? What? And that's what's going on. Because if you were to run out of wine at a wedding, the bride's family, it's like, you do not do that. And they've run out of wine. But I mean, oh, God's going to step in. Someone say, God's going to step in. So here we go. I'm going to give you three principles out of John chapter 2 about if you want God and need him to do something. If you want to see God do a miracle in 2019, this week, this month, today, it's going to require three things. Number one, miracles flow when, this is so simple, I'm so embarrassed to give it to you. Miracles flow when Jesus is invited in, Look at your Bible there in John chapter 2. I'm going to read just two verses to prove that point. John chapter 2, and you got your Bible there? And I'm reading out of the NIV translation, John chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been, underline that, also been what? Invited to the wedding. Listen to me, there's no miracle at the wedding if Jesus isn't invited in. He isn't invited in. And part of the way that God works in our life is you have to invite him into your situation. It dawned on me, I was driving to the office this morning about 6 o'clock or so, and I was just thinking, like, Steve, you haven't even invited him in to come to the services today. You didn't invite him into your message today. You prepared your message, but you haven't. And so I said, God, forgive me. I invite you into all four of our services. I invite you into this sermon right now in the name of Jesus. You got to invite him in. So the first requirement to see God change something is you have to do what? How many know that, by the way, God works in different ways than you and I? Let me back up. How many of you believe that men and women are so different? So let me break it down. My wife, I'll go to a meeting, 3-hour meeting. She's like, how was it? I'm like, it's good. What'd you talk about? I don't know. I can't even remember. Three hours, you don't know. I don't know. We just like talked. And so how did it go? You haven't seen your friend in 20 years. You played a round of golf. How's he doing? Oh, I didn't even think about asking him how he's doing. I don't know. What'd you talk about for 4 hours? I don't know. Most guys, I don't know. And she goes to a 5-minute meeting and she's like, we before the meeting started, we talked about this and that and that and that. Then that reminded me of something else and that. I don't want all the details. Like, come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about? Like we're so different. How many know we're different shopping? There's a couple guys that you're like into the whole shopping. I spend the whole day at the Oaks Mall, whatever. We're praying for you. I'm just saying most guys like me, like I know what I want. I'll Google it. I know what store I'm going into. I'm buying it. I'm out of there in less than 5 minutes. My wife, pray for her. Would you pray for her? Like we go to the mall and she just like looks. She goes around this rack and that rack and that rack. And she's like, I'm not finding anything I like. Let's go to another store. And we go to the other store. We don't even shop for me. I come home with 5 things and she doesn't have anything. And if she ever does buy something, she has buyer's remorse and she returns everything. And I'm like, how many know men think differently than women? Men and women talk differently. We shop differently. And check this out. And God's different than us. Here's typically how we want God to work. Okay, God, I need a miracle. I need you to change something. God, here is how it's going to happen. On Wednesday at 2:00 in the afternoon, I'm going to be at my office. My boss is going to call me in. He says, you're going to get a, no, it might not happen that way. How many of the ways of God are so different than our ways? And if you want to see God do a miracle, if you want to see God change something, man, this is so simple. Just invite him in. You have a problem in your marriage? When's the last time you just got on your face and said, God, I need you to come in and change our marriage? Your kids are wayward? God, I invite you into my family, in my parenting, in my finances, in my health. Oh, God, if you don't come in, invite him in. Again, there's no miracle in the text unless Jesus is invited in. And this is such an awesome principle too. Isn't it awesome that Jesus is at a wedding? He's at a celebration? Why is it that non-Christians wanted to be around him? Ever thought about that? If you think Jesus was stale and stuffy and sour and prudish, you have no idea what you're talking about. The tax collectors wanted him. People wanted him at their celebration. Why? Because he had joy and life and vitality. And listen to me, if you think Christianity is like a bunch of things you cannot do and you don't have any fun and it's just like you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't party and you can't have any, no, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Tell you, I did all that stuff before I came to Christ. I've never had more fun in my life than I've had the last 33 years. So I told you, I took my kids to the Rose Bowl. I promise you, 80,000 people, nobody had more fun than me and my kids. Because we were laughing, and everybody was drunk, and they're like walking down, like, oh, that's awesome. And I guarantee you, they woke up with a hangover. We did. In fact, we were laughing at them. And we shouldn't have because I'm a pastor. But anyhow, nobody in the stadium had more fun. So you don't have to party and have a hangover to have fun. I'm just talking about real Christian living is a blast. And God is at a wedding because he is a God that celebrates. And we got to invite him in. Revelation 3:20 coming on the screen says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I used to preach this verse all the time, that it's a verse that Jesus is knocking on the door of the unbeliever. Say, hey, if you open up your heart, I'll come in. And I think you can use it for that, but actually the context is Jesus is talking to Christians, not non-Christians. And he's saying, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Would you let me in your marriage? Would you let me in your finances? Would you let me in your health? Would you let me at your job? Would you let me in your parenting? I want to come in. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. You've tried every other thing, every other program. You've got advice from everybody else. Would you let me in? Here's another thing that stirred me about the passage. The Bible, not only was the people unknown, so they were a nobody. How many have ever felt like that? Like, okay, for God so loved the world, but there's like 7 billion people. I'm a nobody. Like, who am I? I'm just a pastor in Oxnard. Doesn't God have bigger fish to fry than worry about my little problems in our church and buildings? And like, who am I? Like, I just feel small and insignificant. You ever feel like that? Like, who am I? And God shows up to a wedding to nobodies. So instead of like, for God so loved the world, why don't you just drop your name in there? For God so loved Steve that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved, what's your name? For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. And so God loves ordinary people. You might feel small and insignificant. Listen, God loves you. If you haven't heard anything and you forget everything else that I say, he loves you and he will never forget about you. But here's the cool thing. The second, not only do we know nothing about the couple, he shows up to ordinary people. Check this out. He shows up to ordinary places. Cana. Do you want to know where Cana is today? It does not exist anymore. So it's like, have you ever been to like Needles, California? That's Cana. You're like, why would you live here? I know. It's a remote place in the middle of nowhere. And God shows up to ordinary people and ordinary places. And he says, if you'll invite me in, I'll do a miracle in your life. This is so cool. So 20-something years ago, after we were youth pastors, we got an invitation to pastor church in Goleta. It's pretty nice, isn't it? I just drove through there. Goleta's really nice. And I'm like, why don't you go back to Westlake Village where you grew up? And I'm sure you get a lot of big tithers there. Start a church in Westlake. Then we were thinking about Camarillo and we got invited to start some other churches and we really felt like God said, start a church in Oxnard. Everybody's like, what? Because I grew up in Westlake Village, and let's just, can we just be honest in church? Like in the county, everybody always looks down on Oxnard, and I think it's a racial thing. I think it's wicked from the pit of hell. So I'm just like, oh, we're starting Oxnard, man. And people are like, where's that? Where's that? And for the first year, we lived in Ventura, and my wife and I decided, hey, we want to live in the city we pastor. And people are like, you're moving there? And then we sent all of our kids, we public school in Oxnard. You're like, you're sending your kids to school in Oxnard? Yeah. And they're going to thrive in Oxnard. We started a church in Oxnard. And why? Because God loves ordinary people and in ordinary places. And everybody, I talk to pastors all the time. They call and, hey, we heard that you planted a church and it started with like 40 people. Now you got like 4,000. Can we sit down with you? I'm like, yeah, where are you starting? They're like, Ventura. Where are you starting? Camarillo, Santa Barbara, Westlake. Nobody ever wants to come to Oxnard. I'm like, bring it on. Bring it on. Now, check it out. Fast forward the tape. I can't even tell you how many phone calls we get from churches all over saying, hey, we've been watching your services and stuff. And can we talk to your sound guy? Because your sound is awesome. And we had a group here on Wednesday night, right, from another church, just checking out our youth. They're like, dude, we hear what's going on, and can we pick your brain on our youth? We had another church here on Thursday checking out our stage because they got carpet on the stage, and they're like, hey, we want to do something like you've done. We're getting all these calls, and people are coming to little old Oxnard. And they're shadowing our worship team. And another guy a couple weeks, can we just sit with your music director and how do you guys prepare for the services? And little old Oxnard. God chooses the foolish thing to confound the wise. And I love it. God shows up to ordinary people in ordinary places. And if we just invite him in, he says, you know what? I am a candidate for doing miracles in your life. I'll change anything. I just want you to invite me in. Someone say amen. Number two, if you want God to change something, if you want a miracle, number two, miracles flow from what we have, not from what we don't have. Here it is, verse 3. Miracles flow from what? From what we have. God never asks you what you don't have. He already knows that. What do you have? So in verse 3, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, notice the simple prayer, what's the problem? No more wine. Please look at your Bible. I'm not making this up. Verse 4. Woman, I want to talk to all the young people and the husbands. Do not say that to your mom. Hey, take out the trash. Woman, no, don't do that. I promise you it's going to go really south for you. Woman, why do you involve me? That's what Jesus said to his mom. Who gets to say that to their mom? Only Jesus, that's it. He's the only one. So I know you started your text about 10 seconds. I want to give her, no, delete it right now in Jesus' name. Do not send that to your mom. Do not. So here's what Jesus is saying. Hey, my hour has not come. And yeah, I want to honor and respect mom and dad, my natural, but I have a heavenly father. So verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Man, I think if we can get our entire church on verse 5 program, we could turn our city right side up. Do, what does he want me to do? He wants you to do whatever he tells you to do. He wants you to do whatever he tells you to do. Verse 3, there's no more wine. So Mary, just, great, great counsel. Do whatever he tells you to do. So check it out, the wedding's going awesome. Everything's in place. And I've done probably 200 weddings in the last 30 years or so. But there's not a perfect wedding out there. And how many of people get so stressed out all the time? I gotta make sure the caterer's there and the music and here I gotta come out, the color and the everything's gotta be perfect. But we forgot to invite Jesus. He's like nowhere. You got the DJ, you got the caterer, but where's he at? And if you want to have him at your wedding doing something awesome, you gotta invite him in and you gotta do what you have. So every wedding has problems. My favorite true story of a wedding that went south was, like some brides, they get just all freaked out. Everything's gotta be perfect. And so this bride was kind of freaking out at the rehearsal. And she's like, oh, it's just not working out. And the pastor just made a decision that on the next day at the wedding, when he gave his opening remarks, because he kept telling the bride, just calm down. God's got it. And don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be anxious. It's gonna work out. And she's like, I don't. So he made a decision after his opening remarks at the wedding. He was, hey, good to have you here. And we're here to celebrate, da, 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 that he was gonna invite the best man to read a verse, just kind of a just like chill. And here's the verse, 1 John 4:18, that says, perfect love casts out all fear. So he thought when the best man would come forward and to read, it would just kind of chill out the bride. So he was gonna get up, 1 John 4, perfect love casts out all fear. That was his idea. The only problem was the pastor didn't know that the best man wasn't a churchgoer. So instead of reading 1 John 4:18, the best man read John chapter 4, verse 18 that says, you have five husbands. And the one that you are now with is not your husband. So there's no perfect weddings at all. And how many love that story? So we have no more wine. Verse 4, the woman said, why do you involve me? Verse 5, do whatever he tells you to do. It's just great advice. I don't want to forgive people. I'd rather get revenge. But God says, hey, I want you to forgive that person. Do whatever he tells you to do. I'll just be honest. I would prefer to keep 100% of my income. But God says, no, I want you to give 10% away. Okay, great. I'll do whatever you say. God, you want me to start reading? I just discovered Friday I was following Brian Houston. Here, you know who Brian Houston is? He started the small church Hillsong. So on January 12th, he tweeted, I started on January 1st, I just read the Old Testament. So I was driving to Lompoc with my son. I said, hey, can you Google how many chapters are in the Old Testament? It's like 60. In 11 days, he read 660 chapters, 84 chapters a day. So I just made a commitment. If you could do the Old Testament, I could do the New Testament in the next 7 days starting tomorrow. God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. If you want me to not eat for 3 days, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, God. I would rather just be bitter and not serve and give my, but God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I want you to look at this verse. Galatians 6:10 says this. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do. So I don't mind that, but the next word really bums me out. We should do good to everyone. Anybody want to take an asterisk on that? Everyone right there? Can we just cross that out? And can we just say, hey, do good to most people. Do good to the people you like. And I hate that because I looked up the word everyone in the Greek and it means everyone. So does that mean everybody that I work with? How many have a job? Let me see your hand. Do you know most of our workplaces is very toxic? Yes. Do not raise your hand, staff people. And here's this. To be a great witness at your job, you don't even need to answer the question. Like, because people are like, what happened to the dinosaurs? Where are they at in the whole creation? You don't have to even say any of that stuff. How did Seth get his wife? So Seth, Adam and Eve had Seth, and then he just gets married. Where did she come from? You don't have to. How about this? If you would just be nice at your job, that would be the greatest witness on the planet. Because I guarantee you, most of our workplaces is extremely toxic. And our boss, he's just like, our staff doesn't talk that way, but. And right? And our boy's just like ridiculous and stupid and all these expect. What if you just said, hey, praise God, we have a job. Amen. That would go so far. Just be nice, be kind, honor your boss, honor your coworkers. Man, I'm just so busy and he wants me to get this project done by Friday. I got so much on my plate. But what if you just said, hey, I'm pretty jammed up too this week, but what can I do to help you? Yeah, good. Maybe the non-Christian would be just like, what is wrong with you? Do good to what? Everyone. Here it is. Do whatever he tells you. Ready? So here's the principle, and most Christians honestly don't get this piece. In every miracle, God has a part and I have a part. You ready? John chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. John chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from, what does it say? How many gallons? So you know those sparklets bottles? How many gallons are those? 5. So each jar, 6 of them, 20 to 30, it's like this big. I got a question for you. How long is it gonna take to fill those jars up? So they have a part to play in the miracle. But what's the deal? Okay, so verse 7, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with. So I was reading that, I'm like, what? All of God's people said. Okay, verse 3 says, we ran out of wine. Verse 7, fill the jars with oil. I'd be like, Jesus, I don't know if you took too much NyQuil or something, but We don't need water. Water's not the problem. We need wine. But you got to do what Jesus tells you to do. So I just want to ask you a question. How long would it take 20 to 30 gallon tanks? Because they didn't have just like, you don't pull out the fire hose and say, okay, turn it on, John. No, it's like there's probably drop a couple buckets into a well. How long is that going to take to fill up? I mean, just to do a 5 gallon, I'm thinking probably 10 to 12 servants, a few hours to pull this off. And here's the piece. You want God to move. You want God to change something. You want a miracle. He has a part and we have a part to play. You got to get this piece. So if you're like, man, I haven't had a job for like a year. I'm just going to kind of chill on the couch, play some video games, keep my hands folded. I'm just waiting for God to do a miracle. You're going to be waiting a long time. My finances are really hurting. I'm just going to wait because I've heard how God does this, man. He just likes, somebody out of the blue is going to write me a check. Amazon Prime's going to knock on the door and there's going to be a big package for me. Probably not going to happen that way. Probably you're going to have a part to play. And check it out. If you don't have a job, ready? Here's your job. Your job, if you don't have a job, is to, for 40 hours a week, to go find a job. That's it. What am I going to do for 40? Oh, I'm going to fill out resumes. I'm going to go have some interviews. I'm going to do what I can and then leave the rest up to God. And this is all over the Bible. Moses had to use a staff. Gideon had to use a torch and jars. The widow had to give her jar of oil. David had to use a slingshot. The leper had to dip 7 times. And the boy had to give his lunch. Yeah, but I don't have a whole lot. No, but you have the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you got the Spirit of God living in you. You have a church family. You got friends. You got a small group. You got services that you can go to. You have way more than you think you have. And so, yeah, God does the bigger part, but I have a part to play. Is this good preaching? Number three, and finally, write this third thing down. Number three, miracles flow through active faith. Key word is active faith. And I just read that. As the servants did some things, God does the miracle. James chapter 2, verse 17, faith without works is? Anybody been serving the Lord for more than like 5 or 10 years? So is this true? God doesn't typically give a lot of details. He wasn't like, okay, Steve, you're gonna start a church in 97 with a group of 40 people, and then 21 years later, you're gonna meet in this building at this location. You're gonna have this many people. These are the people who are gonna be on set. No, just like, go start a church. I know we don't have any money. I know, just go start it. Noah, I want you to build an ark. Okay, what do I do? What do I just start building? With what? There's no Home Depot, no Lowe's anywhere in sight. And just start building. Just get after it. How long is it gonna take? Just start building. So the Israelites are in Egypt, right? They're in bondage. And God's like, hey, you're gonna go through the Red Sea into the Promised Land. They probably were saying, hey, God, I don't know if you know this. There's an army chasing us. And the water is really high at the Red Sea. And it's really cold and deep. And he's like, I know, just start walking. It wasn't until they put their foot in the water did God shore up the water. We want all the details. We want behind the scenes. We want to know all of the data. And typically God doesn't work that way. 38 years paralyzed at a pool. And everybody kept beating the paralyzed guy in. And God says, I know, pick up your mat and walk. Do something. You got to do something. So the third principle there, what is it? Principle 103, miracles flow through active faith. This is all over the Bible. So they did some things, God did everything else. Here it is, key. God doesn't do the part we can do. God doesn't do the part we can do. But we do what we can do, leave the rest up to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let me give you 4 quick subpoints. Here we go, 4 things. If you want God to change something, if you want God to do a miracle, only if you want him to do it. So I'm gonna suggest that you write these things down if you're taking notes. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write these things down. Number one, I wanna ask you 4 questions. Number one, have you done everything you're capable of doing? Amen. Everything, yep. I'm on different websites. I'm filling out my interviews. I'm going to interviews. I've got my resume down. I'm doing all that I can do. I wanna lose weight in 2019. Okay, what are you doing? Well, I hope by Friday I just dropped 30 pounds. I know, what are you doing? I'm just gonna believe God's gonna help me lose 30. No, what's the plan? You gotta go to the gym, you gotta start eating better. So have you done everything that you're capable of doing? Second thing, have you done everything you've been counseled to do? Have you done everything you're counsel to do. Let me ask you a question. When you come to a pastor or a small group leader or an elder and say, hey, I'm kind of thinking about this, like, what do you want, like, godly counsel from people if you're making a big decision? I want to get married. And what if they say, is he a Christian? And you're like, well, he says he believes in God. And I'm always like, that's awesome. You're going to marry Satan. Because the Bible says that that the demons in hell believe that there's God, right? So when, check it out. When pastors give you counsel, do you heed the counsel? I can't tell you how many. I met with a lady, this is years ago, Andy and I went to the house, and she was going to divorce her wife, and we're like, what's the criteria for divorcing? Well, we just kind of growing apart. I know, but that's not a reason you can get divorced. I know, I just don't love him anymore. I think God told me in my spirit that it's okay. No, he didn't say that. And I actually pulled out the Bible and I said, hey, unless it's for adultery, see what Jesus said in red right here? Unless he committed adultery, did he do that? No, then you can't divorce him. Here's what she said. I know what the Bible says, I'm gonna do my own thing. I would love to hear that prayer, by the way. This is what God wants you to do. God, do you want me to do what your word commands me to do? Now, when people speak, and listen to me, there is safety in the multitude of godly counsel. Because you can find anybody to tell you what you want to do. Yeah, my uncle, he's not really a Christian at all. He's a big partier stuff, but he's pretty smart. You can find a friend, any friend. You can find somebody in your family, somebody at work to tell you what you want to do. But what is godly counsel telling you? Number three, ready? Number three, have you removed anything that is blocking the miracles God wants to do? Anything that God's, can I just be honest up here? I'm not any different than you. Any married people in the house? Come on, man. Act like you're in love. Any married people in the house? Amen. So, I can only think two times in our married life, 21 years, where Nick and Connor, hey, you're gonna like this. We got in an argument Saturday night. Nobody else, I know nobody else, they just, but this is back at C Street probably 10 or 11 years ago, just like 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30. I'm like, I gotta go to bed, I gotta preach tomorrow. So finally like 1 o'clock, I'm like, this is it, we're going to bed. Yeah, but that's not very godly, Pastor. Don't you know the Bible says that do not let the sun go down on your anger? Well, too bad, I let the sun go down on my anger. So I had to preach the word of God the next day. So we were like, and I remember first service, I'm like in the middle of my message. So this happens all the time. I'm actually preaching, but I'm like thinking something as you're preaching. And I'm preaching, and I don't know if it's me or the Lord, but I just started like, are you serious? Are you serious right now? You're up there preaching, and she's like on the first row, just like. So let me just ask you a question. Was that sermon in the first service like, it was really powerful, it was awesome, or was it like, so right after the first service, I just felt like the Lord said, you need to go in and apologize. No, her fault, man. Now you go apologize. And I'll tell you, service number 2 and 3 were way better than service 1 because I had to remove my attitude and my unforgiveness, and it opened up a miracle of what God wanted to do. By the way, the longer that you're married, the older that you get, you just like, it's just not a big deal anymore, right? So we barely ever fight. And what we do, most of the time, it's her fault. So we have a very comfortable couch I'll be sleeping on tonight. And the fourth thing and the final thing is this. The fourth thing and the final thing is this. Are you praying in faith and according to God's will? Are you praying in faith and according to the will of God? Matthew 21, 22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. If it's according to the will of God and you're praying by faith, check this out. In the natural, look at me, in the natural, your marriage might look like it's over. But we don't live our life based on what it looks like and the emotions. We live our life based on faith. So it might look like it's in shambles. God can turn any marriage around. Invite them in. So by faith, believe, you know what? It looks terrible, it looks hopeless, but God, you can do a miracle. That's faith. Hey, I know you got the doctor's report and they said it's not good. And that might be true, that might be a reality, but I know that God supersedes reality sometimes. That's why he's a supernatural God. And I know your kids, they don't want to come to church. They want nothing to do with Jesus. In the natural, that might be true. I'm just telling you, I was a youth pastor for 8 years, and I've seen God, as kids were dragged to church, dragged to camp, God get a hold of their life. And it might look like your addiction. You cannot overcome it. You went to this program and that program and this counselor and that. I'm just saying, by faith, if you'll believe, God will set you free. So here's what I want. Before we sing the song, if you're here today and I don't know your story, I don't know your situation, you told me at the beginning you believe God changes things. And some of you raise your hand and say, I need a miracle. If that's you, would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Anybody in the room, physical miracle, relational miracle, psychological, you've been depressed, you can't shake it, you can't sleep, you need a job, you need a better job, you need rent to be paid, you need God to come through in your life, stand to your feet right now. I believe God's going to do that. Same God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If you're not standing, you're seated. Would you just extend your hand near someone? And would you agree with me? I'm going to pray by faith. Would you extend your faith? And would you agree with me as I pray for you? Father in heaven, Lord, you see your sons and daughters. You know their situation. You know their circumstances. You know their story. And right now, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. There's no other name that's greater than the name of Jesus. So we elevate the name of Jesus Christ over depression, over poverty, over job loss, over illness, over sickness, over broken relationships. And as we elevate the name of Jesus Christ, your word says every other name must bow to that name. So do a miracle, we pray. Change the situation, we pray. You did it 2,000 years ago at a wedding. God, you want to do it 2,000 years later at a service in Oxnard. So we believe it. We contend for it, and we release our faith, and we give you all the thanks and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The rest of us, would you stand to your feet? Can we put our hands together? Thank God.